And it's half past the hour on a Transcendent Tuesday. We're joined by Dr. Don Clark. Don, a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and a resident of Garden Valley, Texas. Now, you may not know where Garden Valley, Texas is, but just like David Allen Pond in East Dakota, nobody needs to know where Garden Valley, Texas is, because you'll want to move there. So Don, we won't give any clues to people as to where
I know where it is.
It's the garden spot of Texas is what it is. And Don, you brought up, we've talked about the COVID vaccine many times, the mRNA vaccine. Dr. Peter McCullough has been speaking out about the vaccine for a long time, recently testified in front of Congress. He had some rather pronounced opinions about it, didn't he?
Oh, he did. And he's had opinions about it for a long, long time since the vaccine has come out. And basically, when people started getting the vaccine, he started to notice a dramatic increase in heart issues, myocarditis and pericarditis in particular, and people coming in and, looking like their hearts have exploded from inflammation, which is pericarditis or myocarditis, is inflammation of the heart. And so he's got over now 1,000 papers that have identified that, yes, it was definitely the vaccine that is causing this.
That is, they couldn't find traces of the normal infection, but all these people had COVID-19 vaccine in their system, had recently received at least one shot, huh?
Yes, exactly. In some cases, it was like within hours. In other cases, it was, a week or so. And, we're still getting some reports of people having problems with this, even, a couple of years afterwards, which was predicted by the people who, know about vaccines and virology and things like this. They knew that this was probably not going to go away. And apparently it hasn't. So, these type of indications, or these type of conditions, should have been stopped long, long before.
Well, they had this information a long time ago, the CDC in particular, and probably the FDA knew about it too. There is something called an adverse event list where people that had gotten the vaccine, something went wrong, and that just accumulated, didn't get publicity, didn't get talked about. And they're still peddling COVID-19 vaccine to this very day, are they not?
They are. They are. And they recently, the FDA has recently withdrew basically their approval for children and young adults. Mm-hmm. But that still, leaves adults and others that are also susceptible to this condition.
But they didn't do that. They didn't do that voluntarily, did they? They had to be told to do that by the current administration.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And they had to essentially get rid of some people that were pushing a pharmaceutical answer to this. And I think that's in why this wasn't... I mean, in the past, as we've talked about when we've talked about the vaccine and talked about the virus before, in the past, if you had, 50 or so, deaths associated with the vaccine, it was pulled. But here we've got thousands, if not millions, of people that their deaths can be linked directly to the vaccine. And the vaccine wasn't pulled.
That but they didn't today. Die. They didn't. Well, indirectly, they died from the vaccine. They died from myocarditis, but they were reported as COVID deaths in many cases. And there was no indication that the vaccine, well, there was indication, but it was covered up that the vaccines were causing the myocarditis. In other words, there are a lot of people who died who had underlying conditions. And the vaccine exacerbated that, or the vaccine outright killed them.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it took a little while to figure it out. But because some of these folks that came in and had these heart conditions, if they tested positive for COVID-19, they were classified as a COVID-19 death, even though they didn't have the symptoms of COVID-19. That is the respiratory symptoms that one would normally have with COVID-19. And if you recall, at the time, we were hearing reports of pilots dying, you know, in the cockpit because of heart, you know, a heart condition. Well, that was the same condition. The pilots, you know, were required to get the vaccine. And so a lot of them were, not all of them, obviously, but several came up with this condition. And, you know, that was a major problem during that time. And so why this vaccine is still around behooves me, because there's more than enough evidence to suggest that it is very dangerous, that it has caused long-term health effects for people. When you think about it, the vaccine, well, it's not a vaccine. It's really a gene modification type of product. Specifically designed, you know, it's a messenger RNA type of product that they inject into you. Now, it's a modified messenger RNA, and the way they modify it is that it's methylated cysteine that is on the messenger RNA so that the messenger RNA doesn't break down rapidly. Normally, you know, the general process of making new proteins, for example, is that the DNA in the nucleus of the cell will unfold for a specific region that calls for a protein that the cell needs at that time. And it unfolds and it produces a macromolecule called messenger RNA. The messenger RNA gets transmitted into the cytoplasm, where the ribosomes then bind to the messenger RNA and start making protein.
So it's responding to the information in the messenger RNA. It's telling it to do something.
Yes, the messenger RNA is coding for whatever protein needs to be made at the time. Well, so these new vaccines then is based on that technology, and it says, well, we'll just have the cells make messenger RNA, make proteins, in this case, the spike protein, the most toxic component of the virus, which is on the ends of the protein, for example, that sticks to your cells, and it's called the spike protein. Well, the spike protein happens to be a prion, which also binds to nerve cells, which causes all kinds of nerve disruptions and cause people to lose their sense of taste, for example, sense of smell.
Is this an artificially created spike protein? In other words, it takes DNA manipulation to create this, because the actual bacteria or virus would get into your body, and your body would respond by producing spike proteins. So when you get this vaccine, it's like fooling your body into thinking it has COVID. So it produces antibodies and ostensibly protects you against the disease, but it's an artificial COVID you have, right?
It's like an artificial. I mean, the spike protein is only one protein. There's probably hundreds of proteins in the virus that the virus RNA codes for. And this happens to be on the exterior of the virus. So the thought was, well, gee, if we make antibodies against that particular protein, then your body ultimately will be able to rid itself of the actual virus.
But you said this was the most virulent protein in the COVID virus, which means they're giving you the worst of the disease in the vaccine.
Yes. Well, of course, the virus will attack a cell and eventually kill it. But whereas the spike protein won't necessarily do that, but it turns your own cells into a little manufacturing plant for this particular protein, which is, as you say, it is the most toxic component of all the proteins that the virus makes. That is the one that causes a lot of these side effects. And one of this, so here, and McCullough latched onto this, you know, really early on in that, and he had a protocol for treating COVID that didn't have anything to do with remdesivir or any of these antiviral type of things, but did have something to do with ivermectin and, some other anti-inflammatory agents, steroids, for example, that you would give people at certain specific times depending on the life cycle of the virus. And so it was quite scientific. It was laid out after observing many, many patients and figuring out what really was going on and what was causing the deaths of people. And it wasn't the virus itself. It was individuals' reaction to the virus, which was a hyper inflammatory response. So the body said, oh, I got a virus. I got to take care of it. I got a foreign substance, which is natural, and your body has these natural defenses called antibodies and killer T cells and things like that. And so your body then, after about 5 days of being infected with the virus, sometimes would go into this hyper-inflammatory response. And that hyper-inflammatory response, if it wasn't recognized and treated properly, was the actual cause of death of people. It wasn't, you know, that the person got overcome by the virus. It was this hyper-inflammatory response. And people basically went into like an anaphylactic shock type of symptoms. And so they were treating patients, and McCullough, like I said, and others had outlined protocols that were working quite well. And at a specific time, if you didn't give that person a steroid to quiet down the immune system, they would run into trouble. So in order to help prevent them from getting into trouble, the protocol actually said give them prednisolone or dexamethasone or some other type of steroid to help quiet down the immune system. Now, so this myocarditis or pericarditis is an inflammatory response. So here again, the spike protein is probably sticking to the heart cells, because it's the sticky part of the virus, if you will, that sticks to the cell surface. It was specifically designed that way by the Chinese, which we helped them with that technology.
Yeah, I say that's coming out now, and a lot of people taking a hard look at this, including RFK Jr. and DHS and the not Holmes. What's his bailiwick there? He's RFK Jr.
DHS.
HHS, Health and Human Services. Yeah,
Health
thank
and
you.
Human Health Services. And Human
too
Services.
Many three-letter
yes.
abbreviations. I have a question for you, though. If someone did not have COVID, but did receive the COVID vaccine, and then, say, took a home test for COVID, would having received that vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, have resulted in a positive test?
I don't think so. Hmm. I think the home test or the real test for COVID infection was a DNA test, mm-hmm. and or an RNA test. And in that case, you know, it would have screened out for just the messenger RNA of the vaccine. So I don't think your home test kit, for example, would test positive, mm-hmm. although there were a lot of false positives and there were a lot of false negatives with these home kits. But, you know, at the time, it was kind of the best thing, you know, that we had. So,
pharmaceutical companies invade against those other steroids and ivermectin. They said, don't take that. It won't help.
Yeah, they were saying, you know, well, that's horse medicine, if you recall, when President Trump had mentioned that ivermectin could be, was showing positive results, positive meaning people were getting better if they took ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, they were mocking him. They were mocking the president at
the
time.
That's interesting, because the president talked specifically about those and said that he had been given, he had COVID, and that was given to him, and he recovered. And yet his medical staff, Fauci and Birx and the others, were saying, that doesn't work.
Yeah. No, why were they saying that? You know, that was the million dollar or the billion or the multi-billion dollar question. They were saying that because of the pressure from the pharmaceutical companies, who were now quite in bed with the FDA. If people found out that there was a cheap alternative to protecting against COVID, they would have chose that than taking the vaccine. Experimental. It was an experimental drug. I mean, experimental, you know, vaccine. It wasn't even approved. And even after it was approved for certain conditions, well, for the elderly, for example, even after it was approved, the approved product was never made available. It was the experimental product that was made available, because the pharmaceutical companies did not want to take the responsibility of people dying from the vaccine and therefore having claims against the pharmaceutical companies. So if the product was approved, then it was no longer under emergency use, and under the emergency use laws, the pharmaceutical companies cannot be sued. But once a product is approved, they can be sued, and hence that was kept in the background.
Hence the emergency situation. Now, did the pharmaceutical companies develop this vaccine using government money?
That's an interesting question, because the NIH was involved. Is Fauci's division, which was the infectious disease division, was involved with helping to develop the Moderna vaccine, and Fauci himself benefited, and some others in his department benefited monetarily from the development of the Moderna vaccine, which one would think is a conflict of interest. And in the past, when I was a scientist, when I was in pharmaceuticals and biotechnology, that would have been considered a conflict of interest, and you wouldn't have been able to receive compensation. But all of that has been changed, and Fauci made millions out of the Moderna vaccine because of it.
Another question. Are mRNA vaccines inherently dangerous?
That's yet to be proven. That's yet to be proven. Now, it turned out that, you know, with the M actually refers to modified RNA. So, the Modified messenger RNA, probably because it stays around. And in the beginning, they didn't know how long it stayed around. They would say, oh, this probably stays around for a couple of days, maybe a week. And we know that people a couple of years down the road still were manufacturing the spike protein, you know, in their system. So obviously it stayed around longer than they anticipated. And then they tried to say, well, you know, this didn't get incorporated into the DNA. It was, you know, it wasn't designed to be incorporated into the DNA. And subsequently, we found that, yes, it got incorporated in some people. It got incorporated into their DNA, which means if it gets incorporated into your DNA, guess what? You can pass it on to your children, you know, down the road. So not only do you have it for life from then on, but you can pass it down. So these are major issues that need to be addressed before any type of, you know, messenger RNA or modified messenger RNA vaccines are coming into the market. Now, Fauci is on record at Davos, for example, at the World Economic Forum, is saying we need to push this through because this is new technology and this is going to save the world, you know, in the future. And we're instead of a 10, 20, 30 year process of developing new vaccines, we can develop these things very, very quickly. So he was very much a proponent of getting these things through. And so millions upon millions of people around the world were guinea pigs to Fauci's experiment. And, you know, some regulatory and governmental you know, folks with integrity need to step in and say, no, wait a minute, we moved way too fast with this particular type of product. We need to step back and say, does this really have a benefit? And is this the right direction we need to go in? And what are the things that are causing people to, you know, have reactions? Because it wasn't only the messenger RNA, it was how the messenger RNA or the modified messenger RNA was delivered through these lipid cellular type of encapsulated membrane type of products that they had in the vaccine, and what effect did that have on, you know, people's health. So it was the formulation, it was the purity of the product. There was, you know, the what was given in the small clinical, I mean, it was tens of thousands of people, but the small clinical trial that the Pfizer vaccine was tested on, for example, was much purer than the commercial developed product, and that should have never been the case.
It turned out that we were the clinical trial as a whole population. In fact, a world population was a clinical trial. And,
exactly.
And these problems have appeared all around the world, not just here. I wonder if it would be smart if whoever has the authority to do so would say that these are not vaccines, but rather some form of gene therapy. Drop the word vaccine, since it's not a true vaccine.
Exactly. And that's what the true scientists were saying. They were saying this is gene therapy. This is not a vaccine in the usual sense. Mm-hmm. A vaccine protects people from the virus or from the bacteria or whatever you develop.
It contains either live or dead actual bacteria.
Components or proteins, you know, from the microorganism, for example. Mm-hmm. This turned your body into a manufacturing plant for that particular protein.
And we're still learning the lessons, we are. And it's a tough lesson to learn. But and if you're still in line for a shot with the COVID-19 vaccine, I'd think twice if I were you. And hope it's just not too late. I had just one shot, no ill effects from that. Never followed up for the second shot, and I'm certainly glad I didn't. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments, their website, creationmoments.com. Brand new website. It's a beautiful website, and it's just loaded with scientific information and explains and teaches the biblical story of creation. It's a good place to be. Put it on your bookmark it, creationmoments.com. Don, I thank you. I'm glad your trip to Washington was good, and you're back home, and we'll look forward to next week as well, okay?
Very good. Yep. You folks have a great week.
Yep. Bye-bye.